We're supposed to pray without ceasing, so we should take our time getting through the Sunday school lesson all day.
There you go.
All right, Colossians, in verse 21, let's read this real quickly. And you, that means you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to talk about prayer. Lord, I believe it's the greatest untapped resource that we have as Christians. And the reason we say it's untapped, I just don't believe that, first of all, we pray correctly. Lord, I believe that we pray foolishly sometimes. Lord, I believe we need to adjust our prayer attitudes. And Lord, please help us to learn through some of the prayers that your saints have offered up throughout the years and some of the things that you show us in your scriptures. Lord, please help us. Help us to talk to you more often. Help us to get closer to you. And Lord, please, bear with us. You're so patient and so long-suffering. Please continue to be so. Because, Lord, we need you. We need you desperately today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked last week about verse 21. And it's interesting that after preaching about that, I actually had discussions throughout the week with folks. And this is what you need to understand as Christians. As Christians, we never are far away from God, okay? He is always there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. This verse gives us insight to that because it tells us that you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He's reconciled you sometimes in our minds, though. In our minds. And I want to see if any of you are where we're at here. Sometimes in our minds we feel like the Lord is so very far away. Like, oh man, Lord, I haven't talked to you in months. Lord, I haven't heard from you in months. Lord, and some of us, years. Lord, I would love you to come talk to me. The Lord is always there. And we talked a little bit about last week about how sometimes we get so caught up in what everything else is going on. The Lord's back here and we've got our back to him. And we're over here crying out, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. The Lord's back here. If you would just turn around, say, you could say, Lord, help me. And he'd hear you. See, sometimes, and sometimes I wonder if the Lord doesn't have us have our back to him and the Lord won't answer anything from you because he wants you to turn around and look towards him a little bit.
That's right, amen.
Because sometimes, really, the Lord desires, he's a very jealous God. He desires your time. He desires your thoughts. He desires your actions. He desires us to be his servant. That's what he desires us to be. And sometimes in our prayer life, I just wonder if our asking isn't amiss because we are looking in the wrong direction. We're looking for things that can help us. We're looking for things that can work for us. I'm going to be honest with you. I look over several prayers in the scriptures, and we'll go over some of those a little bit later. What's amazing is this. Most of the prayers that are offered up that are just wonderful, awesome prayers were for other people. You weren't praying for you. You were praying for someone else. And what's amazing is what the Lord will unlock for you while you're praying for others. Because that Holy Spirit, the Bible says, groans with words that cannot be uttered. We don't even know. The Holy Spirit knows things about us that we would never know. And he utters the prayers that we need. Sometimes I wonder if we think, well, Lord, you must not know I'm in affliction. So I'm going to pray for my affliction because obviously, Lord, you don't know. Because, Lord, if you knew, you wouldn't be putting me through this. Did you ever know that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows all things. And what's amazing is sometimes we get so caught up in what we're going through. And there's nothing, please don't misread me. There's nothing wrong with being overwhelmed with what's happening in your life. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes I wonder if we get so downtrodden with what's going on in our life, we're not worried about what's going on with other people's lives. And understand this, Christ desires you to be concerned more with others than yourself. Amen. That's what he is. He is all about others. That's what he desires you to be. And if you look at what this says, it almost gives us the answer right here. In verse 21, it says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We're so excited that there's going to be a day when he won't even shake his finger at us for being dirty, rotten rats. We're going to be unreprovable. He won't even be able to yell at us because he's settled it all on the cross at Calvary for us. So exciting for that. We need the Lord's help to be a separated people. I want you to turn over to Mark quickly. We're still talking about prayer. But I want the attitude of prayer to change a little. I'm trying to change it in my life to where I'm not so concerned about me. I'm more concerned about others. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on too. Some of the prayers that Job offered up. In Mark chapter 14. The Lord tells his disciples here, watch ye and pray.
What verse?
Verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest, it is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Understand this. Your flesh, and Romans has taught this so well, that those of you who have taken Romans, your flesh has no ability to be good. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So your flesh immediately always wants to go toward evil. Always. That's what you're made of. Okay, this fleshy part here always wants to go toward evil. To have the spirit start to overwhelm the flesh into the point where you get to be a person that looks more towards the good than the bad, you have to really work at that. That's not a battle. Understand this, Christians. It's a battle that you start to fight. The day you get saved, that battle rages immediately. The Lord would like nothing else than to have a brand new convert be stopped in their tracks because they think that, oh, I just can't win any battles. At first, you don't win a lot of battles. You don't. And a matter of fact, the older you get, the more battles you face, you start to tire of the battle. And I'm talking a battle between your flesh and your spirit. Prayer is almost the very first thing to lose in the battle. Because your prayer life, understand this, think about this for a minute. If your child comes to you over and over and over again and asks you for a toy race car, and you say no, 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 no over and over and over again, eventually the child will tire and won't ask you anymore. Run that over in your mind a little bit. Think about that with me for a little bit. Now, seriously, if you stand fast, because you had parents, you asked for things when you were a kid, I wanted a bike sometimes. Bike, 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 bike. After a while, I quit asking because it just wasn't coming. Now think about this for a minute. Prayer is often the first thing to go in the Christian life because you don't see him answered. Come on, think with me for a little bit. You stop praying because he stopped answering, you think. You stop praying because he didn't give you what you wanted. That's why you have to make an adjustment in your prayer life. You've got to make an adjustment so much that you're not asking for you anymore. You're asking for others. I want my pastor to be healthy. Pray for his health. Pray for his health. Pray for his health. And don't ever give up until the prayer is answered for his health. Because that's not something, it matters that we have our preacher. It matters desperately that we have our preacher. And that does help you to have your pastor here. But understand this, you've got to start coming to the grips that, you know what, I'm not going to ask for myself so much anymore. Oh, there's some things, hey, I want to be healthy too. I would like some things for me too. And the Bible does teach us to be specific in what we ask for in our prayers. But understand this, if you got on your knees for you, you'll be there for 5 minutes. I want you to really contemplate what I'm saying today. If you are on your knees for you, you'll be there 5 minutes. If you're on your knees for others, you'll be there for a lifetime. Because people in this church need your prayers. People in this world need your prayers. You need some prayer. And yes, I think you should be specific in what you ask the Lord for and what you talk to Him about. But I think that if we adjust our prayer, Brother Dave, how in the world? There's people that I've heard that pray for 3 and 4 hours. First of all, those people need to keep their mouth shut. Yeah. That's crazy to say. Why would you say that, Brother Dave? Because you get your reward right there. See, you don't brag about how long you pray. That's foolishness. You brag about how long you pray, you literally got your reward right there. The Lord just closed you off. That was stupid of you to do that. If you sit there and say, well, I pray every day from 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning. I pray every day. You got your reward right there. You ended it right there. See, your time with God is to be alone time. I've tried to mix that in as much as possible. God's not interested in you telling people how long you pray. He's interested in how long you pray. And not necessarily length of time, preacher. I don't think he's necessarily that you got to block out a time that you got to pray. The Lord says to pray without ceasing. The Lord says to keep a communication line all the time. The Lord says, I want to be on your mind. That's basically what he's saying to you. He wants himself to be on your mind. No matter what time of day it is, no matter where you're at, yes, I think you should have a prayer closet. Yes, I think you should enter in and close the door and talk to your mighty God. But I also think that there should be a constant communication with the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that communication should be about Karen Stevens. And that communication should be about Grandma Lemley. And that communication should be about Judy Dollar. Because he needs to hear from you. That prayer that you offer up, yes, I think you should pray for yourself, for things. But I wonder if the Lord quit answering your prayers because you quit asking when you didn't get the answer you thought was right. I love that it's quiet. Because there's many times that I've had things on my prayer list to pray about. And because the Lord didn't answer it in the first 3 or 4 prayers, I stopped praying for it. Because, well, obviously the Lord's not going to answer it in this way. Obviously the Lord's too busy. You ever felt that way? God's too busy? The amazing thing about God is he's got eternity to take care of. He's not worried about busy. He's always with you, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, he's always with you. Do you know what happens when you get to the point, Brian, God's too busy, you just turned your back on him. You just turned your back on God, he's too busy. I wonder if God has a foreknowledge that you don't know about. I wonder if the Lord knows that, you know what, if I answer that prayer for you, Annie, if I give you your healthy knees right now and I give you the ability to walk and run, you're going to run out in front of a bus. Did you ever think about that for a minute? Yes, it would be great to have healthy knees for the 30 seconds that it took me to step off the curb running, but then the Greyhound bus comes and knocks me over because I didn't see it in time and I got on the road too fast. I know that's an exaggerated example, but let me tell you something. The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows what you have need of before you ask it. And I'm thankful that the Lord takes care of me and the Lord looks forward to me, but I'm trying to think about my prayer attitude and the prayer attitude needing adjustment. Because I get myself so caught up in asking for me. Oh, Lord God, you got to relieve me. Oh, Lord God, you got to take care of me when God's back here because I'm not asking correctly. Right. And I don't think there's a formula. Please don't misread me. I don't think there's a formula. You have to be down on your knees with your head bowed and your hands folded. And there's got to be a certain way. You got to do things a certain way. I don't believe that's true. I believe God can hear you no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. God can hear you. And if we start thinking about others, what kind of attitude would we have if we constantly dwelt on other people? if we got away from us, dying daily to what we believe we, I wonder how easy our lives would be if we ceased to need things. I don't want you to stop needing. Please don't misread me. But if you could adjust your attitude so much that you have Marie Houston more on your mind than you do yourself. See, she needs an attitude adjustment. Can you imagine? I think it would revolutionize your life, let alone their life. Let me give you a thought. This is kind of a math question. Brother Sells, would you rather have one person praying for you or all these people praying for you? That's an easy question, isn't it? When you go to the Lord in prayer, do you pray for you or do you pray for all these people? That's a good question, isn't it? Because if you go to the Lord in prayer and you ask Him prayer for all these people, and all these people in this room do the same thing, the only person missing praying for you is you. And everyone else is praying for you. I'd rather have all you praying for me than just me praying for me. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I love this particular chapter. I love this part right here. This is one of my favorite parts to read. In verse 14 it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Get used to that, Christian. You're carnal. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Man, that's the struggle, isn't it, Christian? I would do good, but I just can't. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth" how many good things? No good things. You are against a juggernaut. Your flesh dwelleth no good thing. I've tried over and over and over again to say, hey, you don't have the ability to do good unless it's through Christ. Get used to that. It's okay. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm just going to go out and sin recklessly then. No, because inside of you, you should have that spirit that says, stop. And eventually, the spirit's got to win some battles for you. After you get saved, you've got to start, I tell you. When you first get saved, you've got to pray mightily that the devil stays away from you, and you need to literally get everybody praying for new converts. They go through battle after battle today, more than they've ever faced in all of history. The battles that new Christians face are just almost unsurmountable. "Dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And many Christians get to that point, and do you know what stops? Prayer. How in the world would an almighty God listen to me? Not only will He listen, He wants to listen. He wants to hear you. Do not ever stop praying. No matter how bad and difficult your life gets, no matter what you have done, pray. Because prayer unlocks something for a Christian that most Christians never even looked for the key. Most Christians don't even think that prayer even really exists. That's truth. Most Christians, you know what, God's not going to listen to me anyways. I've asked God for things, but God never gives them to me. Did you ever ask God to do His will in your life? Did you ever ask God to have His will and His way with your life? Did you ever give Him your life? See, and these are scary roads here because I know Christians have a desire. Well, this is what I want to do. I want to be a lawyer someday, or I want to be a doctor someday, or I want to do great things that show humanity what worth I am. Have you ever said, I just want to do something for God? Because I guarantee you, God's army is desperately in need of soldiers that would give their life over to Him, just ignoring what the world has to offer. That's what your flesh wants. Your flesh desires you to turn and face what the world has and take from the world and desire to make money and desire to do things and desire to have people praise you. That's what your flesh wants. But your spirit desires for other people to succeed. Your spirit desires for other people to serve God. Your spirit desires to get closer to your Lord. Your spirit desires for you to be in prayer in an unceasing manner. Your spirit desires the good things. Your question you have to answer is, which way are you facing? Are you facing towards the fleshly part, or are you facing towards the heavenly part? And don't think it's easy to face towards the heavenly part, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. See, Christians, you fight a battle that sometimes it's so easy to get discouraged. And you know what? Your flesh wants you to be discouraged. Your flesh wants you to feel guilty. Your flesh wants you to dwell on your past. I think you should remember your past, but I don't think you should dwell there. I think you should remember from whence you came, but I think you should focus on where you're going. See, what you got to understand is this. Prayer is not something that you enter into lightly, because prayer is the first battlefront that the devil wants to take away from you. He desires you not to pray. He desires you not to talk to God. He desires you not to get to an attitude adjustment in prayer to where you're praying for others, because if you're praying for others, well, the Lord might help them. Wouldn't it be great if we prayed, and I'll tell you this right now. One of the greatest prayer times I've ever seen was a time when men just got around and didn't care whatever else was going on. Hear my words here. They didn't care about each other there. They didn't care about, well, I'm so thankful that Mr. Such and Such showed up. I'm so thankful for him because he was in my earshot, and when I spoke about him, he could hear me and he'll like me more. Those are tough words right there, but that's being honest in God's truth. Sometimes we get so worried about what the people around us are hearing when we pray, we don't worry about who we're praying to. Understand this, when you're praying to Almighty God, He doesn't need to know that the guy next to you is a great guy. I'm not saying he's not a great guy, but there's more business to be done. And when you sat down there and you prayed and you sat around these men that prayed and poured their hearts out to God and then watched God answer some of the prayers that we talked about in ways that we never even imagined, that's another key to prayer too. Well, Lord, give us a successful day. And when He did, but it wasn't the way you thought it was, did your prayer get answered? See, sometimes we mix in our own thoughts with what God's thoughts are. Our thoughts are so far below His thoughts. Don't get your thoughts mixed up with what God's thoughts are. When you pray and you get an answer to prayer, say glory to God. Don't try to figure it out. Prayer is different than we make it out to be. It really is. Prayer isn't that 3-second thing you do before your meal. I say 3 seconds because Baptist, 3 seconds is about it. I'm talking about prayer is a lifetime commitment. And listen to me. Please listen to me. You probably, this is not for me, but you need to write this down. Prayer is a lifetime commitment towards Christ. It's not something that you do for a moment. Prayer is a lifetime commitment towards Christ. If you can't make that commitment, then your prayer life is going to suffer. Because prayer is a lifetime. Prayer is something that, man, if you had a best friend, would you talk to him? If you had a best friend, would you call him? If you had a best friend, would you text him? If you had a best friend, you'd take every moment you could to talk to him, to be with him, to think about him. I think that's what the Lord wants in prayer. He wants it to be a lifetime. He wants it to be something that we really think about. So as a model of seeking God's presence and power so that we may live in Him and not be drawn away with the sinful world system, the first thing that's going to go in the world system is your prayer life. And we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. Change your attitude in prayer and realize that it's a lifetime commitment. The next thing is a model of understanding God's sovereignty. One of my favorite verses is Malachi 3:6. Can we turn there and look at this real quick? Malachi 3:6. This is, in my opinion, very humble opinion, this is one of the most influential verses in the scriptures. There's two of them. I believe this is one of the two that are the most important. In Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Now, that's a very, very important thing to understand, that the Lord changes not. The other verse is, the Lord cannot lie. So you get those two verses and you couple them together, that makes what we're reading pretty substantial. He can't lie and he can't change. So what we've got in here is always going to be exactly what it is. Thank God for that. Now, since that being said and that being true, I am the Lord, I change not. This is what we've got to understand as according to prayer life. God is on the throne. Who's on the throne? Are you on the throne? Is preacher on the throne? Is Brother Dave on the throne? Nobody else is on the throne. God is on the throne. Why in the world do we care so much about the middlemen? He says, come boldly to the what? So if we can come boldly to the throne, which is really neat, by the way, if you think about that, he invites you in. When we enter into our closet, we're entering into the palace. We're entering into God's throne room. Now, we can't see it. But understand this, I believe just as I'm standing here that God sees me as though I'm there. And I tell you, if you put that in your mind, I'm not talking about an emotional thing here. I'm talking about if you could see yourself there speaking to God, would your attitude change? If you can see yourself speaking before an almighty God, and I'm not talking about looking in his face, because a lot of people say they'd look him in his face. I've never been there, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm relatively certain that this old dirty rotten rat would never be able to look in God's face. Until he picked me up by the chin and said, look at me, son. I don't think so. I know me too well, and I'm telling you right now, I'm filthy rags right here. So to me, the prayer life, if you enter into your closet or you're entering into the prayer without ceasing time, you get into that point where you're saying, Lord, here I am. Your attitude is going to change. Lord, I'd like my hair not to turn gray. Probably wouldn't come into your vocabulary. I'm serious. Some of the stuff we pray for, and you know what? The Lord wants you to talk about even the most frivolous things with him. He really does. But how many of those would be on the top of your list? See, we go to prayer and say, God, I sure would like a few bucks this week. You're on your knees. Lord, please, I need about $25. Why would you pray for $25? Pray for $25 million. Help us build the building. We spend so much time not realizing. Now, please hear this too. We spend so much time not realizing where we are when we pray. Yeah, you're in your car. Yes, you might be in your bedroom at the side of your bed. You may be in a closet, literally. But you're in the throne room, coming boldly before your almighty God, who changes not, and is King of kings and Lord of lords and almighty God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. He's standing there. I just can't even imagine what that would look like. He's standing there saying, Brother Tom, please come. Speak to me. Are you kidding me? Could you hear his voice? The voice of mighty oceans. Brother Tom, I can't even imagine that voice. Please come. I want you to talk with me today. And he's got time for everyone. If you had one thing to ask for, think about it. What would it be? If you had a list of things that you'd like to go over with God, what would it be? In your prayer life, you need to understand that He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's perfect. He's greatness. The more I got to looking at this, it changed my attitude. If there was one thing that I could have Him do, one thing, the only thing I could come up with, Thy will be done. Thy will be done on this earth as it is right here in heaven. Because I'm going to be honest with you, you gave us a little bit of control, God, and boy, we screwed it up. Lord, You do what You believe is right. I don't want the wheel anymore. I don't want to be the pilot. I don't want You to be my co-pilot. I want to sit back and coach in the worst seat in the cabin. And Lord, You make the decisions for me. Because God, I can't do it without You. Do you see how your prayer life changes? Do you see how your attitude adjusts? Because you come in before an almighty God. And by the way, how many would like to know what the future is? I mean, how many of you would like to know? Man, I tell you, I sure would like to know what the stock market's going to do next week so I can invest about $1,000 in that one that's going to go shoot up through the moon. I sure would like to know that. I sure would like to know that Greyhound bus was coming before I ran out in front of it. The only one that's got foreknowledge is God. The only one that knows exactly what's going to happen is God. Wouldn't it be prudent to say, hey, I tell you what, God, since You know, I'm going to let You make the decisions. And that God who gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, to die for you, probably loves you, probably cares about you. And when you enter into the throne room, you're talking to somebody that loves you more than anybody else has ever loved anyone. And that's not an understatement. That is the statement. He loves you more than anyone else has ever loved anyone ever. And there you come. Are you going to say, Lord God, please give me a curling iron? Lord God, please give me a motorcycle? Lord God, please give me $1 million? Are you serious? That's what you're going to ask for from Almighty God that loves you more than anyone else in the whole wide world, knows the future and can give you anything you want? No, I want God to have His will in my life. Lord, You take a hold of me and You do whatever You see necessary. You just want a battle. When you get to that point in your life where your attitude adjusts so much that when you enter the throne room of grace, you say, you know what? I don't want what I want. I want what You want. Amen. Because You know what's best for me. And Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord. I change not. I'll never stop loving You. I'll never stop caring about You. I'll never stop wanting what is best for your life. Please let me have control. You'll see, it'll be the best. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity to talk about prayer. And Lord, I tell You, we desperately, desperately want many things here. But Lord, I really think that the only thing that we need to desire is Your will. Lord, what do You want? Lord, You tell us what You want. You do in our lives that what You see is right. Because, Lord, we can't do what is right. Our flesh it's a battleground. Lord, it's a battleground. It's a war here. And, Lord, the battle with the flesh is so difficult, so hard. Lord, please help us. You go ahead and do that which is right in Your eyes. And, Lord, I would that You'd blind us a little bit to this world. Lord, close our eyes. Lord, let us not look on the bright lights and the fast lanes of the world. Let us stay away from that. Lord, let us pull ourselves away from the world. Lord, let us become separate. Let us become that peculiar people. Lord, please help us to adjust our prayer attitude, to be asking for Your will more often, and then be asking for the welfare of others. Because, Lord, I believe that's what You'd have us to do. Lord, I thank You that You don't change. Lord, I thank You that You don't lie. Matter of fact, I don't think it's not something that You can't, You won't. It's impossible for You to lie, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord, help us to want to be more like your Son. Lord, help us to want to be closer to you. Help us to not lose the battleground that is prayer. Lord, teach us. Teach us again that you love us. Teach us again like that first day when we came to know you as Savior, when we couldn't believe that you'd save a sinner like us. Well, Lord, I can't believe you still talk to a sinner like me. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you do. Be with us today in a special way. Give us a great day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.